The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk time, 11:06. I'm John Potter in the studio. The Douglas County Republicans are here. Douglas County Republican Central Committee. And in the studio, we have Chair John Crawford and Second Vice Chair Dr. Robert Houchin. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning, John.
Good to see you. Thanks for having us, John.
We have so much to talk about, but about 10 minutes ago, we played something was sure to have touched your heart and brought a little patriotism to the surface, and that was the early radio report of D-Day. Now, today's the day, isn't it?
Today's the day, 6th of June, 1944, 6:30 a.m., 156,000 troops began the invasion of the north coast of France, starting from Utah Beach, Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juneau, and Sword. What you see when you see D-Day in the movies is you see an Omaha Beach. Omaha Beach had a half a mile of sand butted by a 100-foot cliff. And so that was just a shooting gallery. Of the 5,000 Allied troops that died on D-Day, 3,000 of them died on Omaha Beach. And 60% of those casualties were taken in the first 2 hours of the invasion. About 3,000 on Omaha, another 1,000 on Juneau, which was the Canadians. About 600 and 400 on Gold and Sword, which was the British. And approximately 200 on Utah. But the American troops that invaded Utah literally almost walked ashore. But one of the disheartening things is that of the 5,000 casualties, 600 of them were from drowning.
I didn't know that.
The landing craft were prevented from getting to the beach by obstacles, and the men stepped off of the landing craft into 12 feet of water, and their 70-pound packs took them to the bottom.
This has to be reminded to people every year, especially this day. This is the finest, one of the finest examples of bravery that you will find. And what did they do this for? What did they sacrifice and do this for?
Yeah, is, you know, the free world.
The free world, which we have to retain and at all cost, and keep it, bring back the patriotism. I went on a rant here.
There you go. Absolute
bicentennial.
16.5 million Americans served in World War II, of which there are less than 45,000 remaining alive today. And those are the youngest of which is 98 to 100 years old.
Now, Dr. Bob, are you like a student of history, or is this a favorite topic of yours?
I am a student of history in general.
There you go. I'm glad you're here then. I'm glad you're here. Well, there's a lot to talk about here. Let's get into it. The campaigns, the primaries, disappointing voter turnout, but we're going to start with just the basic picture of how the election primaries this year have been for you guys.
Well, it's been very busy for us. We've been entertaining a lot of meet and greets with the various candidates. Unfortunately, as everybody can tell, all the campaigns have dwindled into a lot of nasty name-calling. I think we heard it earlier on your show today. And that's unfortunate. I wish they would focus on policies and positions and legislation that they want to bring forward and how they want to represent their constituencies. But like we said earlier on your show,
seems so quaint now when you talk about that.
Because that's the real education our voters need, is what are the positions and policies and legislation that interest the constituents rather than, you know, indicting each other. And I just wish we could get there, but we're not. And so voters have to do a little extra individual research, dig deeper, and get the facts on the individual candidates. It's not necessarily easy, but it's what they have to do. And I think that might be part and parcel, which drives the primary participation numbers down. Now, it's typical, I thought, this time around with the activity that we're seeing in Assembly District 39, Assembly District 40, CD2, with the various candidates and the various campaigns there, that we would see a ramp up in the participation, and it's not happening. And that's kind of concerning.
Well, that's true. Voter turnout has been, what the heck is going on? I think it was something like, I have the numbers here, 8.9% of ballots, mailed ballots, were returned. And I think 94,000 statewide voted in person. Very disappointing, but on the good side, we're getting that message out about the issues to look into them so that more people actually vote on the primary day on Tuesday, knowing that instead of...
We're up to 12% statewide. Mm-hmm. Typically, in an off-year election, we're getting about 16%. So we're approaching normal numbers. But John and I, on the way in, we're discussing the fact that 40% of the voters are independent or non-Democrat, non-Republican, and cannot vote in these. So actual turnout is actually a little bit higher than by comparison to the number of total statewide registered voters. But it's still pretty depressingly low.
What do you do about those independent, non what is the word?
Nonpartisan.
Okay. Are you making an effort to get these people to sign up for your party? I mean, 38% are nonpartisan.
John actually tried to have a reception at our DCRCC offices for nonpartisans, and not with the intention of twisting their arm or hitting them over the head or anything like that, just to get some feedback, get some, you know, conversation going.
Let's see where they're parked.
Yeah. He sent out 400, he hand-walked 400 invitations door to door, and we got zero response.
What? Yeah. Oh.
It's just too early. They're not engaged. They're not interested, or they're sick and tired of the whole thing, and they don't want to. We don't know the answer to that reason why. We can only speculate.
I think you're right. I think these ads now are alienating people. They want no part of it. I can see that. Right. But that's a good idea, John, to target those people. And by the way, there is still time to register to vote. Nevada allows same-day voter registration. Right. You can pick the party on primary day on Tuesday.
That's exactly right. And then if you want to go back to being a nonpartisan immediately after you vote, you can do that as well.
Yeah, there is some talk among voters about the feeling of being disenfranchised. And to your point exactly, you can register or change your registration the day of election or go online today and do it on the Secretary of State website. It's very easy to change it. It just takes a little time and energy to get it done if you want to participate.
I was told by somebody who did this that it took less than 5 minutes.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. There's too much talk about these candidates and not enough about the ballot questions. Let's talk about the ballot initiatives. And guys, let's start with question six, abortion.
Abortion policy, allowing abortions up to the ninth month and loosening up the requirements on what kind of clinical care you can have for that. We're very much opposed to that policy. And we're trying to get that defeated. It did pass last time in 2024. If it passes this time, it will go into the Constitution, and then it will be there. So we're hopeful that we can rally the cause to really look at that policy critically.
Contrary to the traditional talking points, abortion is not health care. Abortion is homicide, as far as I'm concerned. If I run into a pregnant lady with my vehicle and kill both her and her baby, I'm charged with a double homicide.
That is an interesting conflict there. Voter ID is question seven, or the Save America Act. Same thing here?
Save America Act is it's in the Congress and Senate. It's actually
okay, so
held
this
up
is
by
different.
Our own leader, Mr. Thune, is holding that up. Mm-hmm. But locally, we have voter ID. In 2024, we in Douglas were very helpful in the signature campaign to get voter ID on the ballot in 2024. It passed by huge margins, over 70%. So it's a 80-20 issue, and we expect that to pass this time. Second time through, it'll go into the Constitution for voter ID requirement to vote. You have to show your ID today. You don't. So that's the first step. It's a significant, but it's a first step towards election integrity in Nevada.
But it's separate from the Safe America Act.
It is separate. Okay. It's a state
Safe America Act doesn't go through, then the voter ID in Nevada would
still affect.
Would take effect.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with you that about 80% are for this. It's boggling, mind-boggling as to why we don't have people. Just show your ID, for God's sake. It takes a second.
And you need an ID to do just about everything else you do.
And it's so insulting to infer that certain people are unable to get an ID because the hidden message there, folks, is, well, they're too dumb.
My name, insulting. My name changed because I got married. Give me a break.
It was a hassle for me to vote in person without your. They don't even want to see your picture ID. They don't want to see it. Yeah. They don't want to see your driver's license, and they wanted me to sign on a little iPad, and it doesn't look anything like signing on paper.
Right.
I don't know if you guys voted in person, but it's like when you're at the restaurant and they have you sign for the check and it comes out like this silly looking scribble. And I had to start over and I signed over my original John, and the guys, looks similar.
What
the heck is that?
I worked the polls in 2024 and I was doing those signature comparisons. Let me tell you, it's more art than science.
It's different now, John, because it's an iPad.
I know. It was then, too.
Oh, it was?
Mm-hmm.
I get these DocuSign documents for closing real estate transactions and stuff like that. And my signature on those, my six-year-old grandson's signature looks better than what I can do on a DocuSign.
It's just ridiculous. We got to take a break. We have also, we're going to hit on the Protect Women's Sports petition going around. I want a progress report on that petition to get that question on the ballot. The Nevada Supreme Court is weighing in on this, pros and cons, and the open primary issue. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm John Potter with the Douglas County Republican Central Committee. One more segment with them on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:18.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1FMTalk.com.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. 11:22. John Potter in the studio with us, the Douglas County Republican Central Committee. It's Dr. Bob and John here with us today. That's right. Okay. Let's see here. Where was I? All right, let's move on. We have a petition going out on Protect Women's Sports.
Right, and we're actively working the signature drive out of Douglas County. Dave Wetzel, who was here last month, is heading that effort up for us, and he's doing very well collecting signatures. I think we're well over 1,500 signatures now. And
that's the number I heard, yes.
And the deadline is next week to get our final submittals in. So I tried to get an update from the state before I came in here. And there's a lot of activity, dynamics down there. They couldn't give me any current numbers on where they stood, but I can only imagine they're doing very well.
Don't you need 150,000?
That 1,500 is Douglas County.
And you don't know statewide how far ahead you are on this.
Right.
This is the ballot question to limit transgender participation in school sports. The governor is kind of the proponent on this initiative, so it's going well so far. People are actively signing without much resistance.
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as you put it in front of them, I haven't had one person refuse to sign yet.
Well, even if you get the signatures you need, the Nevada Supreme Court is deliberating whether or not this trans sports question can actually legally make the ballot. Opponents are at the Supreme Court. They say this is illegal because the Nevada Constitution's Equal Rights Amendment restricts discrimination based on gender and that it supersedes the legislature's ability to pass laws. What do you say?
And that's the petition itself talks to how it is amending the language in the Equal Rights Amendment, Nevada's Equal Rights Amendment. So it does change that legislation, you're right. And so there is that challenge, and we'll see how that plays out.
Dr. Bob, you're for it, right?
Absolutely. I'm okay. A father of two daughters, and to have them playing against, I mean, there's just nothing that a born male can do. Their upper body is 60% stronger than a female's, and you can give them all the female hormones you like, it's going to remain 30 to 40% stronger than a female. You just can't turn a boy into a girl. It can't be done.
So just to clarify, the language in the petition says, if enacted, the measure would amend the Nevada Constitution to establish an exception to Article 1, Paragraph 24, by requiring eligibility for state-funded sports and athletic competitions to be based upon each participant's biological sex. And so it is an amendment to the language. And so it's a valid initiative to go forward.
Let me ask about the primaries. You talk to so many people in Douglas County. Don't you get a lot of people saying, we want open primaries? We're tired of this. I'm nonpartisan, and I haven't changed the party. I mean, yes, it doesn't take long to do it, but they're automatically classified as nonpartisan by the DMV unless you tell them otherwise. And here we end up with 38% of the voting population in Nevada without attachment to a party who are nonpartisan. And the solution to some people would be to have an open primary where just everybody votes.
Well, the parties are established to put forward their best representative for their party. And that's their right, and that's their prerogative, and that's their duty. Open primary would be like saying, okay, Mr. Rabbi, the Pope's going to pick your next rabbi for your church.
It's worse than that. It's like having the Dodgers pick who's going to be on the San Francisco Giants team.
Yeah.
The concept is ludicrous.
That's a good reminder. The parties run the primaries. It has nothing to do with the government.
And the nonpartisans, they're nonpartisans by choice. They choose to not participate. They can always change their registration and participate if they want. So I call it basically a de facto open primary, because you can easily go in and change your registration every day.
There are states where they have open primaries where other parties will try to scuttle the other party by voting across the party line that they are in, voting for the least popular person who they think will lose. Right. They sabotage the other party's candidate, and that's possible with an open primary.
Or engage in outright fraud like's going on in Los Angeles, California right now, where you have 24,000 votes come in, and out of the 24,000 distributed across five candidates, Pratt got zero.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that is a little
head-scratcher. That's 2.5 zip codes with zero Republicans. Yeah, yes, I believe that.
I don't keep up with California stuff, Dr. Bob. You politician fanatics, I tell you. Anything else, guys? We're down to 2 minutes here.
Okay, I'd like to just notify your listeners of two things coming up, two exciting things. Next weekend.
Another barbecue?
Next weekend is Carson Valley Days. Come down to Minden and enjoy a great parade and a carnival there at Lempe Park. And the parade is going to be awesome. And the parade goes right by our headquarters office, which has been refurbished. We're going to have an open house at our headquarters, and we'll entertain anybody who wants to swing in and say
awesome.
Hi. And
that's next weekend?
That's next weekend, Saturday the 13th.
Wow.
Parade starts at 9 a.m. I'd get there earlier, and it probably ends around noon or 1 o'clock. So come out and see
everybody's
us and
invited.
Have a good time.
Everybody's
celebrate
invited.
Carson Valley. And then our big event, our Heritage Barbecue, is in October. You'll be seeing some of that on our website here shortly. Dr. Bob is our chair of our barbecue committee, so we can expect a rousing event.
There you go.
You guys love barbecues.
Be there or be square.
How many times do we talk about an upcoming barbecue with you guys?
At least annually.
So are you in charge of planning this one?
Sadly, I am, yes.
Sounds like
I got the Lincoln Reagan dinner. He gets the barbecue.
Oh, is that it? Okay. Well, you guys are all galvanized and ready for this primary on Tuesday. How can folks join in on your efforts and be a part of your wonderful committee?
Well, go on DouglasNVGOP.org, and you can sign up and participate right there. You can donate to the cause. You can sign up a membership application. You can stop by our headquarters office right there at 1507 on Highway 395, right there in the middle of right where Gardnerville and Minden come together.
Yeah.
And we'd love to hear from you. We're seeing a lot of visitors right now. We're helping voters out through the registration and the election decision process.
Mm-hmm.
And just come in and see us.
Our monthly meeting is Thursday at 6 at the Elks Lodge on Kimmerling. Come and see us.
It's this Thursday.
Now, on election night, presidential elections, you guys gather somewhere. Yep. Where do you gather to watch the returns?
That would be our office at 1507 U.S. 395 in Gardner.
Are you going to do it for the midterms?
We don't have a plan to do it for the midterm, okay. But for the general, certainly set up a viewing party and
oh, do that. Yeah. I would love to be there. Tuesday night, you're going to make up some popcorn and listen to the return. The radio station is going to do results.
Oh, good.
Outstanding.
Of the primary starting at 7 o'clock p.m. and go until we get a good picture of who wins, I hope.
Is it going to be less than a month, 2 months, like California?
I don't want to hear about California. So Tuesday at 7 o'clock on the radio. I don't think we're going to really find out. I think by Wednesday we're going to get a really good idea of who the winners are. And I can't wait to see that.
That's going to really solidify us and focus us. And we're looking forward to that because, as you know, Douglas County doesn't come out and endorse individual campaigns or candidates. We support all of our candidates and let them...
Kind of frustrating, isn't it?
We want the party to select their horses, then we'll support them all the way through.
See, now the Washoe County GOP, they pick a favorite. I don't know if that's right. Out of all the other Republicans.
It's a great debate.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Good to see you again. And likewise. We'll see you again next month. I love what you guys are doing for Douglas County.
Thank you, John.
I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1131.
On an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Online with the free app and on air at 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. It's 11:36. All right, Lyon County, listen up. Before, especially you voters who haven't voted yet, running for Lyon County Commissioner Ward 2, Mr. Scott Keller. Hi, Scott. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, and good to be back.
Good to see you again. How's the campaign going?
I think it's going pretty good. I got a chance to get out there, tell everybody what I stand on. I've got a record to run on, so to me that experience is what everybody should be looking at. So
that's a big selling point. Let's talk about experience, because you are on the commission. How long now?
I've only been on there for a little over 3 years.
Okay.
But I've been the chair of the commission for 2 years, two mm-hmm. terms of that. And then also I've done a lot since being on there. So I didn't go through a learning curve like most people do when they get into politics. It's 2 or 3 years of learning how the structure actually works. And I already had that experience coming in from being on advisory boards and being married to a former county commissioner. So it worked out good for me so I could take Lyon County to the next level. At the legislature and also nationally.
All right, so we can check off experience. That's one of the advantages you have on your opponents. I think you have how many opponents now?
I just have one, the same opponent I had last time.
Okay, you're one of four candidates running for District 5.
No.
Two, I'm sorry.
Two
Ward
for
two.
District 2.
Ward 2. Lyon County, how's the Charlie Kirk Government Center coming along?
It's coming along pretty good. It's right now they're putting up block. They even put out a mock block building so you can see what the overall look is going to be.
Oh, I saw the drawings. I thought it was incredible.
Well, you can just drive out there and kind of look at the mock building, and they're going to be putting the windows in that mock building so that it's just a little building, but you can kind of get an idea of it. A lot of people say, why did we need that in that area? And because Dayton's growing, we need the government things there, and that's, you know, the sheriff, Health and Human Services, the judge. So there's other reasons why we had to build it. It's mm-hmm. just not because we wanted to.
You were fully supportive of naming it that, right? weren't you?
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. 100%. I was introduced because we were going to name it. Commissioner Hendricks is the one that put the motion forward. It was kind of stopped, and I seconded the motion so that everybody could talk about it. When we got done talking about it, 5-0 vote.
Have you gotten any flack, especially from out of state, over naming a government center after Charlie Kirk?
Well, out of state doesn't really affect me in any way, shape, or form. I'm more for my communities. There were some legitimate reasons to name it after some of the people that were living in Dayton and stuff like that. But I think it overall rose to the Charlie Kirk.
I imagine complex. You got some flack over the Donald J. Trump Justice Center in Yerington, didn't you?
My wife was the commissioner when that was named. And so we didn't get, I don't think we got flack from outside, but not really from the inside and within the county. And actually a lot of people drive through and take pictures of it and they stand in front of it. And so it's like, it's kind of a tourist thing too. Okay. So
how are you getting out the vote?
Well, I've been knocking on doors. I just got done knocking yesterday. When I get done here, I'll be knocking on doors again. I'm just trying to get people to get out and vote. A lot of people don't realize that when you take your time, you take the amount of gas money that you're going to spend to go down there and sit in line for an hour. If you went early, you wouldn't even been an hour. And do that, your return on investment is probably the most important thing you could ever do. You know, those changes that we bring forward, the traffic, everything else, and the reason why you live in Lyon County, all affected because of who you voted for. It's so easy to just go down, and you're not just voting for the commissioners. You're voting for the governor. You're voting for the lieutenant governor, all the state races, and even the Congress, like CD2. Right now, I'm supporting James Settlemyer for that just because of his experience. He's the type of guy that I could reach out to. I know what it's like to go to Washington working with Mark Amaday and saying, I need this for my community. How do we get it done? And we have to really be dive into it quite a bit to figure out where that pot of money can come for my constituents. And I need someone in there that understands when he was Senate when the Republicans were in charge and when the Democrats were in charge. So he knows what it's like to be on both sides of that. And I think I'm in Congress. I think he'll know how to navigate that and be the best for Nevada.
You know, campaigns may irritate people, but I really like it when I can be at home and I can knock on the door and it's an incumbent and I can bring up issues to them directly. I had somebody running for Reno mayor come to my door and I could tell her, I gave it away there, tell her directly what I wanted for my city. Now, you're a door knocker, okay. You must have gotten an earful from people. What are people saying to you?
I think the biggest thing that I get is they're happy that I knocked on the door, because some people have never seen a candidate knock on a door. But you got to understand, Lyon County is pretty big, so you can't knock on every door. Sometimes they just get a card there. But the biggest thing that the conversations I've had is more about clarity of what the county does. What have we been doing and what direction? Because if you just go on the internet, it's so full of mistruths, you know. So to me, it's like, it's a great conversation to have.
Micah Triplett was here earlier, and we were talking about this 14-building data center campus, which is proposed for Lyon County. 14-building data center campus. It's got to be a hot topic in this race. What's your feelings on data centers in general or about this project?
Well, I've been part of a thing with National NACO for data centers all over the U.S. right now. You know, talking to people from like Virginia, where they have 200 data centers in their county. You know, so when I look at everything, each one is individual. Each one, I have to look at the whole thing. The one in Yerington that you just spoke about, that went from a master plan amendment to a specific plan. And when it does that, that means that we have more regulation on a specific plan. So it wasn't just a regular change. And that means we can address it a little bit more complex. And if they go under, and this is with any big project, if they go under, that stranded asset is what we don't want. But at the same time, when you look at a data center or something like that on a specific plan, it goes away. It goes away completely if they go under. So you can't turn that data center into a truck outfit or something like that. You know, something that it wasn't made for that we didn't address in the original thing, because specific plan, you have to go back to nothing. So
you got to be careful, and you're not rah-rah solid for him. You're looking at you know, what lion count, what it could cost your county.
Right. And you also look at people tend to look at right at the project, right where it sits.
Yeah.
But there's traffic coming from Vegas that's on that road right now. Then
95
we're going to have
95.
Yeah. And then we're going to have more traffic because of construction, and you have to pile that all together and say, "Okay, wait, we need road improvements in Silver Springs back down into Yerington, not just in front of the site."
What is this radio ad that it pushes you and it pushes Micah Triplett? I thought that was a little odd, because you're basically, different politicians, or candidates, rather, for Lyon County. Is this a PAC thing?
Yeah, that ad came out as a PAC, and we don't have any say. By law, we can't even talk to a PAC, because they're separate, and the campaign contribution, that type of thing. So we can't even talk to them.
Why are they picking you two?
I think their heart's behind supporting us, and they like what we stand on, and I think I got a record that they can look at and go, okay, there's that record, and they're not real happy with the other people. But I understand that. Okay. But I way I run a campaign is to be honest to everybody, to run a very clean, transparent campaign, because I don't have to be dirty. I've got a record, right? So people can look at...
Well, the ad isn't dirty. It is a bit negative on your opponents.
Well, that's probably the correct word, is negative.
And that's not you as a person.
No, I don't need to be negative in the campaign. I'll go back to the community when I'm done, be friends with everybody, and just run on what I stand on.
What do you love about being a Lyon County commissioner in Ward 2?
I think it's satisfying. You know, you get to my age in life, you know, where you're wondering what you can do for your community, and it's.
Oh, okay, you're choking up over that. You do have a definite love of Ward 2 in Lyon County. I don't mean to laugh about that at all. Besides the major issue of data centers, one more issue, sir, that people have brought up to you, or maybe you're passionate about, Scott?
Well, I think it's representing all the communities. They're so different. And you look at, like, down in Smith Valley, where it's agriculture, and they have concerns over water, but they have public lands, and everybody else in the community gets to go down, enjoy that. So I want to protect that 100%. At the same time, I go to another community like Silver Springs that wants to grow. They want to be have a big industrial park and have that economic development, same as Fernley. So when you look at the different things, Smith Valley will enjoy the benefit that we bring up in the north. We will do the benefit of being able to enjoy their lifestyle down in the south. Every community is different. Stagecoach is 5 miles from Silver Springs. They want to be rural. Silver Springs wants to grow. So how do we do that? Keep everybody happy. And so it's very diverse in Lyon County, and I enjoy it.
You have a very nice website. I looked at it. What is the address to it again?
You know what? I think if you Google it, you come up Caliper Commissioner.
Okay. Hold on a sec. Let's see here. Scott. No, it's very good. Nevada. All right. There we go. Scott Keller, candidate for commissioner. Let me get my glasses on. Hold on, Scott. All right. It is keller4commissioner.com, and 4 is the number 4. It's the digit 4. keller4commissioner.com. Look at that nice picture of you there with your big mustache.
Well, the reason why I don't know that one as much is because when I'm out talking to people, yeah, I tell them just to email me, and that's contactscottkeller@gmail.com.
Contactscottkeller nordernnevada@gmail.com. And I bet you have an email link on this website, too.
I'm sure I do.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Love it. All right, sir.
So I wanted to say one more thing before I get off here. I just wanted to say that we're going to have you're going to be out there in Fernley for our big 4th of July event
that's coming up.
I just want to invite everybody to come up there and enjoy that. It's important. It's the 250th of the nation, and I think it's a very important day. So please come out to Fernley and enjoy it.
I am all for it. I'm excited about that, Scott. You live in Silver Springs, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah,
Lake Lahontan.
Why? Now, aside from your candidacy, I expected Silver Springs to just mushroom, to just explode, because they are so close to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. I would think I by now there'd be tons of housing and apartment complexes there. Why hasn't it grown?
I think it's because people, when they go out for the site selections of certain things, they look at the freeways, the waterways, the airports.
Fernley's getting it all.
Well, they got two things. They got rail and freeway, where the rest of Lyon County does not. So that's why you get the Walmarts, you get the stores, and where there isn't. So people don't want to be away from stores or doctors and stuff. But that's changing. I've got some initiatives that I've been trying to bring forward to bring a bunch out
I've
there.
I've been amazed it stayed small. Scott Keller for Lyon County Commission. District Award 2, I'm sorry.
No, you're right. District 2.
District 2.
Yeah, we run out of districts. Cities run out of wards.
Not technically a ward, huh?
Yep.
Okay, sir. Good luck.
Well, thank you.
All right, sir. I'm John Potter. One more segment with me. Up next on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:50.
Is FM Talk.
Well, here he is, the Dark Prince of the CD2 race. You don't mind that, do you?
No, that's the way we should start this, because I'm all out to get these other two guys.
You are a very interesting person. Dr. Fred Simon is running for CD2 Congress. There were people in this studio, I'll tell you, Douglas County Republican Central Committee thinks because of apathy, it's possible CD2 could turn blue.
Well, I think if one of the candidates is elected, I think it's going to go blue because he's the Democrat candidate. That's Flippo. There's no doubt about it. This is a very strange
election. Wait a minute. The Democratic candidate?
Yep. That's who they want.
Okay. Well, if he wins the Republican primary,
he'll get beat.
Well, yeah, one of two things is guaranteed. All of Nevada's congressional representatives will be Southern Nevadans, or they'll all be Democrats. Again, District 1, Dina Titus, Vegas Democrat. District 3, Susie Lee, Vegas Democrat. District 4, Stephen Horsford, Vegas Democrat. And we would not have a Northern Nevadan in representative in Congress. I never thought we'd be in this situation.
Well, here's the problem. There's issues out there, and you've got two guys who don't talk about the issues. I talk about the issues. Go to my Facebook page. Every week there's something I'm talking about. So I say to them, prove me wrong. They can't, because they won't debate me. They've turned down debates for the past 6 weeks.
Where is the debate? There hasn't been a debate.
They won't debate, because let's take land and water. This is the big Settlemyer issue. I'm tired of hearing that James has been here for four generations. He's a rancher. I applaud his career. What did he do for land and water other than screw Lovelock in regards to them only getting 8% of what they're supposed to, firing the person who was head of the water district? And has he done anything about the pollutants in the land? Glyphosate, atrazine. 80% of the population of Nevada, if they were checked, would have glyphosate in their body. It flows over to wastewater, streams, rivers. If there's a real issue that can be addressed, it's that. Mr. Amadei's been in there since 2011 and hasn't done anything about the core issues. He hasn't been able to get a bill through. Settlemyer has done nothing. But this is the mantra I'm James Settlemyer, rancher. I care about Nevada lands. Well, he doesn't care enough to say he doesn't want data centers. There's 70 of them. There's 56 more coming. There's 22,000 acres of land that they're going to take up. 25 million people's water, their drinking water, goes away. Here's the problem. I know the issues in depth, all of them. Prove me wrong, Flippo and Settlemyer. They can't, because they won't debate me, and they're afraid to debate me.
There he is, making friends. What's your website?
SimonForCongressCD2.com.
All right. Now, besides what they're doing wrong, what would you do once? What are your prime objectives if elected, Dr. Fred Simon?
Number one, we got to stop. We already have 70 data centers. We don't need any more.
Right.
California doesn't want them. Okay. Why are we getting them? Because we're loose environmentally. There hasn't been transparency. Lombardo signed an executive order. Flippo and Settlemyer are behind this. It's about money. Look at all the money they're both getting. Settlemyer getting $1 billion of a billionaire supporting him from Illinois. Flippo's getting all this money. I don't know where it's from. Here's my positions.
Vegas.
No data centers. No more. We have enough. Number two, let's fix our land. Let's get the pollutants out of there. Okay? Let's fight Congress about these bills. The last farm bill, you can't get the glyphosate out, and you can't talk about it. Oh, it's a really nefarious bill. Healthcare. We need telemedicine across this district. It's not that hard to do. Nobody talks about it but me. The quality sucks. I can review every single major quality case in about 10 to 15 minutes. We can improve what we have significantly. Affordability, availability, and quality. That can be fixed in 2 years. I've been hospital to hospital to hospital. Flippo and Settlemyer haven't been anywhere. Education. I've said this before. Mississippi has a template. They went from 49th to 9th. Go to the school boards. I'll go. You just don't go to Washington for 150 days. But they're both bought off. They don't say anything in their radio articles. They don't say anything on Facebook. They don't say anything on their ads. What's their policies? What do they stand for? They both want $455 billion more to the military? We just gave the military $200 billion in July.
Dr. Fred Simon, running for CD2. Primary day is Tuesday. What's your website again, Dr. Fred?
Simon for Congress, CD2. Happy D-Day. And, you know, on the 14th, it's Happy Flag Day.
That's
and
right.
This is the 250th anniversary. Yes, we are the best country in the world. Yes, we need a strong military, but we don't need to double the cost.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.